wonderful. He's just so good. God has been challenging me in a few areas recently. One is in the area of faith, is in the area of believing. And he's been challenging me to stretch again, to stretch a little bit for in believing God for certain things. And I don't know, I just feel that if he challenges me, then that mean he must mean that we must want to challenge us all to stretch a bit in the area of faith. And you might say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by stretching in the area of faith? What does that mean for me? Well, there's all kinds of things that might mean. One of them is having a belief of who God is and who God is to me. And also what you believe concerning the way God looks at you. We sing that song, Good, Good Father. We sing it over and over, and people be ministered to it, are ministered to by singing it, because they're talking about the goodness of God. But the sad part about it is many times we sing that trying to convince ourselves that he's a good God because of some of the things that we've experienced in life, because of the things that have happened to us. We sing it from a context of, yeah, I got to sing it again so I can be convinced that he is a good, good God. And because sometimes we can't feel his love, rather than simply understand that when God says he loves us, that means he loves us. That he wants us. In fact, I believe God spoke to me this week and he said, I'm really tired of my children to have to be convinced that I love them. I'm tired of my children being in a place where they have to be convinced that I love them. They should just be able to look around and know that I love them. All that I've done for them demonstrates that I love them. And I believe that you and I have to get to the place now where we don't have to be convinced, wondering all the time, does God really love me? Do I have to have somebody to tell me all the time that God loves me? Or am I going to come to the place knowing, have a sense of faith and believing that God says he loves me, therefore I know that he knows that I know that he loves me. I know that's the only way that I was able to get to the place where I could be convinced that God would love somebody like me. It was simply on the basis of his word that he told me he loved me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. You can say, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Praise the Lord. And when we take that verse, when we take that into our lives, we begin to meditate on that and say, yes, we believe that. We believe not because we can feel loved, but that because he said it. And you see, the most powerful faith in the world is faith in God's word. We believe God loved us, and his love has been imparted to us because he said so. He spoke it. So I want to talk to us a little bit about faith. Emma, a six-year-old, said, love is when you're missing some of your teeth, but you're not afraid to smile because you know friends will still love you even though some of you is missing. That's a demonstration of love. That's a good concept. Love is when people will love you just the way you are. And I want to know that you're, I want to say that you're loved. I don't care what state you're in, you still are loved. And I will still say, I love you. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you're going through. That is not an indicator of whether you're loved or not. And when God looks at you and sees you in exactly the state you're in, whether you're in a bad state or whether you're in an absolute wonderful state, he loves you both just the same. He may not agree and may not want you to do some of the things you do, but that doesn't cause him to love you any less. God loves you. He cares for you. We must take that by faith, believing that the love of God is constantly upon us. Thank you, Lord. It is by faith that we realize that we are loved. Now, faith has to be tested. Faith is always has to be tested. And sometimes we really don't know what we truly believe until we're tested. I read a story about the King of Wales, I believe it was, at one time. He had a man in his kingdom where that developed a jacket of armor who would stop a bullet. And so he wanted to show the king this, and he got all dressed up in this armor, and he wanted to show the king. He said, how wonderful, how beautiful it is. And he said, it'll stop a bullet. If anybody tries to assassinate you, it'll stop a bullet. You don't have to worry anymore about going out in public. And the king was pretty impressed. And he looked at it and he said, praise God. And he turned over to one of his men. He said, go and get a rifleman. And whenever he said that, the guy with the armor took off. He believed in his gun-proof vest to a point. But he wasn't willing to stand up and let somebody shoot at him to test it. And we really found out then, the king really found out how much faith he had in that bulletproof vest. You see, sometimes our faith has to be tested for we will, so that we will know just exactly where we stand. Because we never want to get into the battle and suddenly realize our faith is not where it needs to be in order to stand the battle. So he brings us to tests and trials at different times in order to test us, in order for us to see where our faith is. And so we must be willing to go through the test. Okay, let's start out with reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter says this, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Simon Peter calls a faith that we walk in a most precious faith. In other words, he's saying it's not something ordinary. It is something that's very, very precious. And if we will think of our faith as something that is precious, then we're going to do everything that we can do in order to feed our faith to cause it to grow. Because faith comes as a seed. And as a seed comes into our lives, it's up to us to decide what we do with that seed. We can either ignore that seed of faith that may have been imparted to us, or we can do something to cause it to grow. And let's continue reading 1 Peter now in chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading this from the Message Bible because it's kind of neat the way it goes here. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. I just love that. When you're born again, when you come into the kingdom of God, you want to know that God's future starts for you at that point. I mean, it's not when you get over there in the sweet by and by, but right now, God has a goal for you. He has a future for you. He has a joy for you to live out your life here on earth, being filled with the joy and blessing of God. Right now. Verse 5, God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, not the things that you have, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory in our lives. It is your faith, not the things that we've come in contact with, not the things that we have, not the things that we enjoy every day. Those things will have such little to do with what really counts. He says it is your faith that will be evidence of his victory. Remember Jesus said this. He said, when I return upon the earth, will I find faith on the earth? If he doesn't find faith on the earth, then there'll be no evidence of his victory upon the earth. You see, God desires us to walk in faith because he wants to prove to all the principalities and powers that my people, whom I am living through and moving through, are a victorious people. They are a people of faith that even in a kingdom of darkness, they can live victoriously because of his power working in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody else is going to get happy about it. I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just sensed all week that God wanted to release something special today in the area of faith, and I'm just kind of stirred up in my spirit about it, that God, being the kind of God who He is, doesn't want us to settle for less than. He doesn't want us to settle for second best. He wants us to live a life down here that is absolutely filled with His presence, a life filled with the Spirit of God, that we would know Him and walk with Him, not only when we come to church on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning when we get up and things seem kind of blue, that we are people of faith who are able to shake that off and say, God, I know You're with me today just as much as You were with me in church yesterday morning. You are with me this day when I go to work, when I get up in the morning. The power of God is living on the inside of me, and wherever I go today, I'm bringing the kingdom of God with me. Hallelujah. Now, if you'll reach out in faith and begin to believe that, you'll find your situations changing. You'll find life changing. You'll find things have a new brisk walk. You'll have a new spring in your step if you'll know that everywhere you go, God is with you. God is for you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Your faith is precious. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, there are some people, there are some Christians who are believing that they'll make it through, and that's all they're believing for. That they're going to make it through to heaven, and that's where their faith is at. They're just going to believe and hang on until it's time for them to go home, and then they'll be happy. But I know that God has got more for you and me than just getting it through, living on barely getting by street, just barely making it through and getting our health to the point where it's bearable. No, in this life, God wants us to live victoriously in this life and have a faith of saying, God, I'm serving the best God that could ever possibly exist. And because of that, I can live one of the best life. I can live the good life. Now, I'm not talking about you won't have persecutions. I'm not talking about you won't be shunned. I'm not talking about you'll not come into situations where your job might be a situation where to keep integrity before God, you're going to have to say, no, boss, I can't do that. I just cannot do it. And you might be reprimanded for that or could even lose your job. I'm not saying those things won't happen, but I'm saying in the midst of trial and difficulty that we can still know the joy of the Lord. We can still walk in victory. We can still see ourselves as people who are walking in victory. And again, this is an area of faith. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as somebody beaten down and that you'll never be a success? Or do you see yourself as someone, buddy, who's filled with the power of God, and because of that, you are a success? You're not going to be one day, but you are a success right now. Praise God. Now, I want you to know this. Again, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about what you believe. Doesn't matter what you're going through. If you've called in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been born again into the kingdom of God. You are a success. You are. Your heavenly Father is your daddy, and He's watching over you, and He cares about you. You are a success, whether you feel like it or not. You are a success, and God wants to prove it in your life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So how important it is to have faith. How important it is to believe, because we can't please God without it. We can't please God without this faith that the Bible talks about. No matter what we could do, we could be the best person. We could make sure that we never curse, swear, cheat anybody. We never fall out of the line of walking before God when it comes to sin. We just stay away from that. We just walk the straight line all the way through our lives, and yet have no faith and never please God. Wouldn't that be disappointing? And some religions teach this, that you must live a certain way. You must absolutely do everything right in order to have your good works make you right before God. Boy, we'd be in trouble if that was our motto around here. Because we all miss it. You know, for a person who feels that it's your works that will get you into good favor with God, what happens when you miss it? Because remember, Jesus said this, if you mess up with the law just one time, you've messed up with the whole law. So what happens with the person who, he may try to be perfect, but they're not perfect? If they try to be perfect, but they miss it one time, what happens if there's no faith? Well, they missed it. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you and I must come to him, first believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So sometimes you say, God, I don't feel that you're there. There's nothing that about me that shows you that you're there. I don't sense that you're there. I don't know if you're real. Well, the Bible says, if those who believe will open the door enough to seek him, he will come to them. He is a seeker, or pardon me, he is a rewarder of the seeker. He is a rewarder of the seeker. If we seek him, he'll reward us. Now, think about this for a moment. If you've lost something, which I seem to do quite regularly, if you've lost something and you begin to seek it, and you might begin to ask some people, oh, I lost something, did you see it around? Well, the reward of my seeking would be to find it, wouldn't it? Well, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we're seeking after God, we're going to find him. If we're seeking after God, we will walk into his presence. And we'll come to the place where we know that we know what we know, that we've made contact with the Father. And that we know that he loves us. Praise God. So what is faith? One of the things that I heard one time, somebody put it this way. Faith is something called spiritual common sense. I like that. Faith is something called spiritual common sense. And that is good, a good statement, because when we look at the word and we read the word and we decide to believe the word, then that's spiritual common sense. It's good common sense. Praise God. Faith is good spiritual common sense. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance, the tangible substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we're believing for something, and our faith will eventually bring it to us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Message Bible puts it this way. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. Faith is a firm foundation. I like that. Our faith is everything, is the foundation of everything we want in life. It's what we can build on. If our faith is strong, then our foundation is strong. And when you build something on a strong foundation, it's solid. You don't have to worry about it crashing one day. It is solid if the foundation is firm. Debbie and I were we took a drive out to East Point on Friday, I guess it was, and we went out, we drove out there, and we noticed there, and I believe that they one time took the lighthouse, which was right by the edge of the cliff, and they moved it back. And the foundation that is right by the cliff is still there. That's not a very pretty thing. There's usually nothing real pretty about a foundation. But they had to move the lighthouse because the foundation was beginning to give way because the earth was all giving way around it. So the foundation of that lighthouse was eventually going to crash into the sea. So they moved the lighthouse. That foundation couldn't be counted on any longer because there was a washing away of the bank over and over and over again until that foundation became unstable. Now, the enemy will do what he can to wash away the foundation of faith. And many have been spiritually shipwrecked because they've allowed the enemy to erode the foundation. You know, one of the foundations of faith that came up through the centuries was that the body of believers came together for a purpose. The body of believers came together to hear and receive the life of the Word of God, but they expected Jesus to be present as they met together. And as a result, they expected to receive the life of God being imparted to them when they met. But the enemy moved in and began to put other things in front of people's lives to take up their time. So somehow people enjoyed more going to the beach than coming together with the body of believers. And they actually thought it was more important to go to the beach than to come together as a body of believers. Yet coming together as a body of believers is one of the main foundations of life. One of the main foundations of our Christian faith is to come together as a believing group, recognizing that the Spirit of the Lord is amongst us so that we could bless one another. You might say, well, how do we bless one another? Well, we pray for one another. We speak blessing over one another. There's something real that happens when we speak blessing over one another. I know there's different people have told me that the time of blessing, usually I do at the end of the service when I speak blessing over you, that they sense is a very important time to receive the blessing of God. And I was made again very aware of that. I think it was last Sunday morning when Neil Campbell was preaching here, and he called Debbie and I up, and he was praying a blessing. He said, I just want to bless you. I just want to pray a blessing over you. And so we stood there, and I remember him praying a blessing over us, and I remember thinking in my spirit, I was thinking, wow, I really needed that. Now, he didn't speak prophetically a word over me or anything like that, but just speaking blessing over me, I just sense in my spirit, being fed in my spirit, I just sense a little boost, if you will. And I just thought to myself, boy, I really needed that prayer of blessing. You see, that's what happens when we come together. That's one of the foundations of faith, that God lives in us, therefore he blesses through us. He blesses others. When we speak a word of encouragement to somebody else, we bless them. And that actually imparts life to us when we do that. So one of the foundations of our Christian faith is to come together as a body of believers. But our faith is something that can be built on when the foundation is properly laid. If we're believing God, for instance, for our healing, we have our healing service this month on the 17th. When we believe that, we set our faith in a place of, okay, Lord, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That's what the Bible says. God, would it be possible for me to be healed today? Well, if you're a believer, you have to go to the Word and say, well, what's the Word say about God healing today? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I read the Word of God, if I read what the Word of God has to say about divine healing, it will begin to build up faith within me to believe God for divine healing. You see, our faith increases as we read and hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, it's not just something that you do one time. We continue to do it over and over again, so that seed of faith that has been planted on the inside of us will grow and grow and grow and begin to produce. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Therefore, we also pray always for you, the Apostle Paul praying for the church of Thessalonica, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, the Apostle Paul is saying he was praying that God would count us worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So there's power and faith that's got to come together. There's a power that comes from heaven that has to activate our faith as well. You see, it's our job to grow in faith, take the time to read his word, to be able to understand the things that he wants us to believe, and then count on him to empower the faith that grows within us. In other words, when I pray for people, when people come up and they might ask for prayer, maybe it's a sickness or disease, and I begin to pray for them, I pray for them by faith, but I'm expecting the power of God to do something because on my own I can't do nothing, can't do a thing. You see, it's the power of God that must be released through our faith. Amen, Pastor Bill. I think I've got to preach to myself here. Amen. You see, the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I believe when I begin to pray over people sometime when they're sick, sometimes I'll just begin quoting scripture. Why? Because the word of God is powerful in us to drive out every demonic force that would try to hinder us. As we speak the word of God into people's lives, life is imparted and the power of God is released. And the Apostle Paul says that we are to be counted worthy of the calling to which we have been called through faith and power. Power is something that we need to expect to take place in our lives. The power of the Lord, the Bible says, in Jesus' life was present to heal. But why was the power of the Lord was present to heal? Because Jesus was there. And if Jesus is in our midst, then we should be able to expect that the power of the Lord is present to heal. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that. I believe that we can receive the power of God to heal us even when we're in amongst a group of people who are gathered together in the name of Jesus. Just being in that presence, healing can come to us. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus is in our midst when we gather in His name. And where Jesus is, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Glory to God. So each one of us have been given a measure of faith, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought." That is a very important area if we are ever going to be used of God in a powerful way. Don't think that you're more important than anybody else. No matter what you can do, no matter even whether you're the greatest prayer in the world and all your prayers seem to be answered, don't you think that you're any higher than anybody else. God looks upon all of us the same. He loves each and every one of us the same. And He gives us all the same opportunities, praise God. He has a calling for each and every one of us. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. To each one the measure of faith. So God has given each one of us a measure of faith. So what did we do with that measure? Each one of us received the measure of faith. What did we do with it? Did we let it lie dormant or did we feed it? You see, faith comes as a seed. Faith comes as a seed. What did Jesus say about a seed? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be plucked up, rooted up, and be cast out into the sea, and it'll be done for you. So a seed is very powerful. A seed can grow into something huge. A seed is something that needs to be looked after and watered. If you plant something in the garden, you plant a seed in the garden, you have to watch it, watch over it. The slugs could come and eat it up, and it'd be gone. You have to protect that thing. In other words, you don't hang with people who will discourage you in your faith. If you are a believer, you hang with people who will build you up in faith. You don't hang with people who are always complaining about sickness and disease, for instance. They're always got the woes in their life. They're always expecting something bad to happen. If you do that, the life of God will be sucked right out of you. You won't realize it's happening to you, but it'll like there's a little leak in the dam, and the life will just begin to flow out of you. No, you need people around you who are going to encourage you in faith, saying, "Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God good? And if you can't talk about nothing else, think how glorious it's going to be in heaven." Amen. I mean, if you don't see anything around you that's good, then at least talk about what heaven's going to be like. But and it is wonderful. I mean, that can lift your spirits just thinking about heaven itself and the glory of God. God, the presence of God coming into you and just waves of God's glory coming over you and affecting every part of your being, your very soul realm. That's one of the most exciting things that I think about getting to heaven is not all the silver and gold and everything else that's going to be there. The Bible says that the streets are paved with gold. That doesn't really excite me. But what excites me is the presence of being in the awesome presence of heaven itself. I just believe that when you take a breath of the presence of God, it'll just seem like God going all through you. And I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And when I taste the presence of God, the anointing of God going through me, there's nothing that I'd ever want more than the presence of God. Glory to God. And we get to be with Him through eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My faith is stirred, believing that he has something good for us right here and right now. We don't have to wait for the sweet by and by. God's glory wants to rest upon us right now. If we'll believe, he's called us to be a people of faith. A people of faith. Now, I'm not talking about, yes, have faith, brother. Well, have faith in what? Have faith in what? Have faith, brother. What does that mean? Now, I'm talking about specifics. What are you believing God for? What are the things that you expect? Because what we believe will chart a course for us. What comes out of our mouths will begin to chart a course for us for where we're going to be 5 years from now. I hope you've made a decision of where you want to be in 5 years. I hope you've gotten before God and said, God, this is the direction that I want to go in life. I prayed about it and I believe this is what you have for me. Now, Father, with your help, this is going to come to pass in my life. I'm going to walk according to your direction, and I'm going to believe, God, that you are going to be with me every step of the way. And how do we practice that every day? Well, some of us, a lot of us are parents here. Some of us have kids. Some of us don't have children, but yet we have spiritual children. And one of the things that I say about myself at times, I'm a good father. I'm a good dad. I'm a good granddad. I'll pray. Debbie and I will pray sometimes and say, God, help us to be the best grandparents we can possibly be. And we pray for years, Lord, help us be the best parents we can be. But I don't pray every time. I don't pray, Lord, help me be the best grandparent, best grandparents. I don't pray that every day. What I do pray and what I do decree is, God, thank you now for making us really the best parents we can possibly be. I thank you, Father, that you are working in us and that you are doing things in us so that we are actually the best parents that we can possibly be. Lord, I'm counting on you, God, and I thank you that with your help, our children are blessed, our grandchildren are blessed. I thank you, Father, that the favor of God is upon them. I decree and declare that our children will run further than we ever have. They'll have done and are doing more than we have ever done to advance the kingdom of God. And I decree and declare those things over our children and our grandchildren. And Debbie and I declare that over you as a church as well. I pray that over you often. I pray, God, thank you for giving us a people who are alive for God. Thank you, God, for giving us a people who know you, who trust you, who want to walk with you, who are thirsty for you. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a people who are a people of faith and know how to believe you for things. Glory to God. And I pray, I speak blessing upon your homes. I decree blessing upon your homes, that you're blessed, your home is blessed, your children are blessed, your spouses are blessed. Everything you put their hand to prospers. We just bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm believing that for you. I'm believing that. And if you'll stir your faith up, you'll begin to realize that there's an awareness growing on the inside of you of what God wants to do on the inside of you, of what God wants to do through your life, because God wants to minister to people in your life who are all around you. There's people who are hurting that he wants you to go and speak a word to. Well, I don't really have anything to say, Pastor Bill. I'm really having a bad day myself. Well, you can choose to speak that way, or you can choose to say, Father, I thank you that the life of God is on the inside of me, and when words come out of my mouth to speak encouragement to someone else, it's going to be anointed of God. The words that I say are going to speak life into another person. It's going to encourage them. And Lord, I know I don't feel like it right now, but I'm not going by my feelings. I'm believing, God, that you're going to touch the words that come out of my mouth, and life will be imparted to others around us in Jesus' name. You see, it's whatever we choose to believe. Whatever we choose to believe, we can either impart life or death, one or the other. My desire is to impart life. Amen. Impart life to everybody I come in contact with, to impart life to you, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. Your place is to see yourself as a position, in a position of authority and in a position of victory. Why do I say that you are in a position of authority. I say that because Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils. You have authority over devils. You use the name of Jesus, you have authority over devils. And you can cast them out. And there's demonic forces that are working in our homes many times, and they're working in our business and so forth, and you can have authority to walk into those situations and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you demonic forces that's trying to harass this operation or that operation, in the name of Jesus, I command you to desist in your operations in Jesus' name. Now, sometimes you need to walk in it a while before you really believe it. But if you'll hold fast, you'll begin to see God move mountains. I feel impressed to tell you this one story this morning. I remember a pastor was a man of God who taught faith. One of his people came to him and said, my wife has left me. We have 3 little kids and my wife has left me. She's gone. I don't know what to do. He said, will you go and talk to her? And the pastor went and talked to her, and boy, it didn't look good. He came back, and he just didn't say how that was ever going to work out. And he told the man, he didn't say anything too much. The man just started saying, well, I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God that he's going to bring her back to me. And she had moved out and rented another apartment, and he went to her apartment. Her husband went to her apartment. Her strange husband went to her apartment. And she said, giving the testimony after, I thought he had really lost his marbles. Because he had come in that apartment and he began to speak God's word over her. He began to take charge, take authority over that situation and began to speak over his wife. And that every demonic force that was hindering his wife was going to have to leave right now. And he began to just preach, and she went to bed and shut the door, and he continued most all the night just preaching and declaring the word of God over her life. And she said, her testimony was, she said, I don't know what happened. She said, suddenly, coming on morning, suddenly something left me. Something left the room, and suddenly it dawned on me, what am I doing? I love my husband. I love my children. I don't want to be away from them. And she totally changed around. Something left when the word of God kept pouring out into the environment. The decree and declaration of that man who was in a place of authority in his marriage began to decree and declare until that demonic force absolutely left, and the lights came back on when it came to his wife. And they were restored. You see the authority that we have in Jesus' name? The authority that we carry, it's there whether we use it or not. But I want to declare to you today that you have an opportunity to grow in faith. You have an opportunity to be a mighty man or woman of God as if you will exercise your faith, if you will cause your faith to grow by having the word of God wash over you over and over and over again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, as they say, I don't know if I've helped you any, but I sure helped myself just in preaching the word this morning. I thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Well, stand up with me, please.